So in today's second reading, we had Paul talking about the resurrection. And apparently, this is to the Corinthians. This is his first letter to the Corinthians. And apparently, there were some in the community already way back. Now, the Corinthians, we're talking about somewhere in the late 50s, early 60s. And that's within 25 or 30 years of the passion, death, and resurrection of Christ, we already have people questioning whether Christ rose from the dead. And that says something about the resurrection. It's known to us only through faith, which means it can become subject to doubt. And that is true. That is true. And the doubt plays itself out in a lot of ways. But Paul is writing to the Corinthians, and he says, if Christ is preached as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? Well, see, in this case, if Christ is not raised from the dead, then my ancestors, my parents, my sister, my family members, my grandparents, all of them are truly dead, and there is no resurrection for them. And that's what Paul is trying to say. That's one of the imports of saying that there is no resurrection. But then he also says, not only are those who have fallen asleep permanently there in the grave with no way out, but also we are the most pitiable people because we're still in our sin if Christ is not raised from the dead. Because what that says is, if Christ is not raised from the dead, then evil has the final word in our world. And that's probably one of the more practical consequences of questioning and doubting whether Christ rose from the dead, is this conclusion we come to as we live out our lives, that evil is the final word. And probably there's nowhere where that becomes most felt in our lives than when we experience injustice. Because injustice hurts. That's what it does. I mean, I'm sure all of us in this church today have experienced injustice. It's painful. It's not easy. But here's the deal. Evil cannot harm a good man or a good woman. I mean, think about that for a moment. Evil cannot harm a good man or a good woman. And there's only one way you can make that claim, and that's if Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Because if you look at it, I mean, just look at a crucifix. There's a great deal of injustice that led Jesus to the grave, and he was in the grave. What does the resurrection do? That's God's final judgment on evil. It shall not triumph. But that is only available to us through faith. And there's the rub. Wow, that's tough. I experience injustice. If I'm really grappling with the mystery of the resurrection to the point where I'm questioning whether it actually occurred, the evil I'm experiencing, the evil I'm suffering, the difficulty I'm going through has the final word. And so what do I need to do? Well, I need to take this bull by the horns, and I've got to start to fight evil with more evil. Because if there's no resurrection, the only justice I'm ever going to know is the justice I mete out now. You see what I'm saying? See, that's one of the other more practical imports that results from questioning whether there's a resurrection from the dead. It's the old law, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. You take my eye, I take your eye. You take my hand, I take your hand. And then Jesus comes, and he suffered brutal injustice. But then he rose from the dead, which was God's final judgment on that. And then we say, well, gee, so if evil can't do harm to a good man or a good woman, last time I checked, Maximilian Kolbe was starved to death by the Nazis. Father Dan, that looks like some pretty awful stuff. And if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, the evil done to Maximilian is final. It won. That's it. It's over. But what if Jesus rose from the dead? Maximilian has gone to his grave a good man. And the men and women who starved him to death have gone to their graves evil. And if Christ has risen from the dead, Maximilian's going to rise to a different judgment than the men and women who put him to death. Now, that's justice postponed. That's justice postponed. And that's kind of where the rub comes for us as Catholics. I mean, we experience injustice. We want justice now. And what God basically says is, well, I can give that to you, and sometimes he does. But one way he definitely does is by being salt and life in our lives as we're undergoing the evil, so that evil doesn't triumph in our lives and we start going sour. You see what I'm saying? He preserves us. He preserves us. And then we go to our graves, the good man that we are, the good woman that we are. But see, if Jesus hasn't risen, then the evil I'm now experiencing wins. It's over. What's there to fight for? There's nothing to fight for. There's nothing to fight for. I've got to do it now. I need justice now. I got to mete it out now, and I take it into my own hands. I don't think I know a saint in heaven, at least of the ones that we have formally canonized, that has done that. Because Jesus didn't do that. He was quiet. He was silent as he went to the grave. Now, if we reflect just momentarily on the death of Christ and the apparent triumph of evil on Calvary, our scriptures even tell us that in that apparent victory of evil, St. Peter tells us that Christ, the Son of the living God, went into hell and just destroyed the kingdom of Satan. So even as it looks to us like, man, this, like the apostles are distraught, they're, you know, the two apostles on the road to Emmaus, they're so discouraged. We thought he was the one, and now it's over. And in that whole time of the apparent victory of evil, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, has gone to the dregs of hell and is claiming all the righteous and emptying it of the righteous, shouting to the gates of heaven, be open, and saying, we're all going home. And then he rose from the dead, claiming authority over the entire spectrum of creation from the dregs of hell all the way to the heights of heaven. That's what the resurrection is. It's this bright light shining out the judgment of God and its final victory over evil, including the dregs of hell. And Maximilian lost his life in hell on earth. But see, Jesus is sovereign over hell. Even there, in this apparent victory of evil, all this comes to us through faith in the resurrection. And that's where we struggle. That's where we struggle. Because good men are not meant to go sour, and good women are not meant to go sour. Evil is not meant to have a victory in our lives where we begin to practice evil in the pursuit of justice. The church has never supported that. Why? Because Jesus rose from the dead. And when I go to my grave and you go to your grave, the good man and the good woman you are, you will rise to a different judgment than any of the men and women who ever visited evil upon you. Why? Because Jesus rose from the dead. That's why. That faith in the resurrection, it's absolutely at the heart of our faith that we believe. And here's the good news is, even those SS officers that put Maximilian Kolbe to death, if they repent before they die, hey, guess what? Now they're trying to get back on the good side. And Jesus says, I forgive you, because that's what I died for. So it's not a foregone conclusion. It is justice postponed, and that's what we get frustrated with. We want justice now when we're suffering injustice. And Jesus says, that's not what I died for. I died that people might repent before they die, so that when they rise, they come to a new judgment besides the one they would deserve. And I don't know about you, but I'm grateful for that kind of mercy, because it makes goodness still possible, even after I've messed up. For me, for you, for all of us. And you want to know something? I have no doubt that everything I'm saying here rings so true in the 90-year-old heart of Vera Pfeil. I have absolutely no doubt. Can you imagine being born in 1932 and living through the bloodiest century to ever exist? Hitler invaded Poland in 39. 7 years old. Where was Vera the first time she heard about the atrocities in Auschwitz, the atrocities they began to discover as the 45th Infantry went into Dachau and the news got out? Wow. The news got out about what happened in the Soviet Empire when the Berlin Wall came down in 89. All that news and all the stuff, the tumultuous problems of the 20th century, I have no doubt that Vera in her heart realizes that justice is postponed for her, for you, for me, for all of us, for the purposes that we seek out God's mercy and forgiveness so that we can continue on the path of good. And with that said, I join Vera and your family in wishing you a happy 90th birthday, and I have no doubt that our good Lord has preserved you to this point. And we just want to pray this morning, I have a blessing here, that providence, care, and continued grace in your life will fall upon you on your 90th birthday. And to do that, I'm going to bring the blessing to you, which I think you deserve at the age of 90. So I'm going to go down there instead of asking her to come up here.